Join me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. And look at verse number 12. We'll begin there. Paul writes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. Yet, for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who'd believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to call your attention to verse 15, and not just verse 15, but to a specific phrase there. Paul writes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. There is a big idea in that short statement. In fact, it strikes me that the first part of that phrase is a beautiful summary of the gospel, isn't it? Just a few words that capture the whole story. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. You have watched those of us who share these reflections trace that story throughout the Bible from beginning to end, and maybe like me, have marveled along the way how many times we can see throughout Scripture the pieces of the story, the threads of that tapestry coming together. Beginning in Genesis chapter 3, where the seed of woman, we're told, will deal a death blow to Satan, looking all the way ahead in the future to the cross. To Genesis 12 and the promise in verse 3 that through a descendant of Abraham, Jesus, a blessing would come to every family. Through the prophets like Isaiah 53, where we're told that the suffering servant would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Again, looking forward to Jesus. And so much more than those obvious things. So many figures, so many messianic hints that foreshadow Jesus coming to save sinners. You remember years ago that we talked about Genesis 22, when Abraham's called to sacrifice Isaac, and how when you dig into that story, there are all these little clues that point to Jesus, like those climactic words spoken by Abraham in that story. When Isaac asked, where of the lamb? Remember what Abraham said? God will provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice. It was looking forward to Jesus. That too is the story of the Bible, isn't it? God providing the lamb. I think Jeff has done a masterful job taking us back to the Old Testament in his reflections and helping us see the connections, these threads throughout the Bible that form the tapestry of the story. All of that is captured in this single phrase, Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the story. But then in the second phrase, Paul would take this big idea and watch him as he tightens it into this very, very narrow focus. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost, he said. Yes, Jesus came to save sinners, but I am a sinner. For him, this grand truth was deeply personal. In fact, if you could go back and read through the segment we read from chapter 1 of verse 12 down to verse 17, you can feel his keen awareness of his sinfulness. He calls himself the foremost of sinners. I don't think that's meant to be an objective analysis. Paul had not prepared a spreadsheet and compared his sin to the sins of every other human and decided that he belonged first on the list. I don't even think that's correct. It may be that that statement is really more about how he feels. We've all been there after some terrible, terrible disaster, spiritual collapse, some terrible sin, and we just felt like the most guilty person on the planet. But at the end of the day, I don't think what matters in the big picture is what sins are on my list. What matters is that I have a list. And you do too. All mankind finds themselves in the same boat. Sinners by choice, desperately in need of rescue. Which is what makes Jesus' rescue mission so deeply personal. I fear sometimes our minds are consumed with the big idea and we forget the personal application. Yes, Jesus died for sinners, but I am a sinner. He died for me. I think we need to remember that. I think we need to remember the two ideas that come together in this phrase. We talk often about the sacrifice of Jesus. You ever thought about that? How much that enters into the things that we do when we come together? It's in the songs that we sing, and not just the ones chosen before the reflection, or Lord's Supper songs, as we traditionally count them. They're woven into so many of the songs we sing. And I rarely hear somebody get before our family and lead a prayer that somewhere along the line, Jesus isn't mentioned, and his work to save us isn't made part of that prayer. And then there are these reflections week after week after week when we come together every week. Ever since I have been a Christian, I've had a moment every week where I was at this table pondering this big idea that Christ came to save sinners. It is the story of the Bible. But as we make our way through that story, appreciating all those literary threads that tie it together, all the prophecies, all the figures, all the hints that foreshadow what is coming, let's not forget. This story's about me. I am a sinner. All of this happened so that I could be rescued from my choice to sin. This is personal. Let's bring that to the table this morning.